Tonight I want to continue what we've started in the last several Wednesday nights on division. And I'll ask you to turn to Romans chapter 14, first of all, Romans chapter 14. And let me just say again, I want you to understand what I'm saying. It could be confusing, so listen carefully. In the beginning, we know that God created everything perfectly. There was total unity, but in the process of time, sin entered into the picture and there was division, of course. The worst of the division was we were separated. Mankind was separated from God. All division is related somehow to sin, but we said all division is not wrong because it's okay to divide ourselves from sin. We want to be separated from that. Like good cholesterol and bad cholesterol, there's a good separation, there's a good division, there's a bad division. Good and bad division. Our Lord taught us that anything, a kingdom, a home, a church, a house, whatever, Satan's kingdom, could be, if it was divided against itself, that it wouldn't last, that it would fall. And so that principle is true. It's good if our enemy's being divided. It's bad if we're being divided because of sin in the camp, perhaps. The scriptures also teach and speak of being divided from the enemy and perhaps from a non-repentant brother and his influences. We've looked at a few verses like that. We're supposed to separate. We call it separation rather than division in that realm. There are a number of things that should separate us. And we looked at them in the scriptures and some of the Old Testament passages to see what separated individuals in the past. Unbridled lust in the antediluvian civilization before the flood. Unrestrained imagination at the Tower of Babel. There had to be division because of their unrestrained imagination. Idolatry over and over again in the Old Testament. Faithlessness when some just refuse to trust the Lord. That can be a very divisive issue. Self-exaltation. Those are the things we mentioned last week. Those things, it's okay to separate over those sin-causing issues when they enter into the house, the business, the church, or whatever it might be. So division or separation from our enemy or even from a non-repentant brother will result in spiritual health and strength. We'll be strengthened by separating from sinful situations. Division of one's enemy will result in victory. If we can divide the enemy grows weak and they can be defeated and there would be victory. So, keeping in mind that there's a multifaceted approach and perspective of division and separation depending upon who's being divided and what you're dividing over. Okay? Tonight I want us to turn our attention and begin to look at some things that should not divide us. These things should not divide us. And the first one I'd like to mention is, and we'll call it issues of the conscience. Okay, so I want you to listen carefully. You're in Romans chapter 14 and verse 2. And we're going to consider these in their historical context, which I'll tell you a little bit about as we go. Just look at verse 2, Romans 14, 2. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. And you know there was a lot of concern in those days about what people ate because there was a transition from one dispensation to another. The Mosaic laws did not allow them to eat certain things. And we know that in the New Testament era, we can eat whatever. We thank the Lord for it. And so there was, in that time of transition, there were individuals who were concerned about eating certain meats. Particularly, we know from the First Corinthian letter that oftentimes they were eating meats that had been offered in sacrifice to idols. And they weren't at the idol's temple eating them, but the leftover meats that were not consumed in the sacrifice were taken to the shambles or the meat market, and people could buy meat there. It was cheaper meat. And there would be nothing wrong with that. The meat's not tainted. Those idols are nothing, Paul told the Corinthians. And so they could buy that meat at the market, and sure, it's fine. But it violated the what of some? The conscience of some. So conscience is an issue. Conscience is an issue. We should not be divided over issues of conscience. I want you to look at verse 5. It says, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So you have the Jews of that day. They had always worshipped on what day of the week? On Saturday, the Sabbath day, the last day of the week. But we know after the resurrection, people started to worship on the Lord's Day, the resurrection day. There were a number of reasons to do that, and it's very easy to see as you look back in the Bible and also in extra-biblical history that they started to worship on the Lord's Day. Don't you imagine if you had grown up worshiping on the Sabbath day and all of a sudden there was a switch? That was the holy day. I mean, you couldn't work on it. They were under the law, remember? And it would be a hard changeover. And it was for some of the Jewish people. They just felt like, ooh, I can't do this on Saturday. On the Sabbath day, they would call it. And then there were others saved later, some Gentiles. They didn't care what day it was. You know, they worshiped on the Lord's day, on the day of resurrection. And they were fine with that. But some, if they did certain things on Saturday, their conscience bothered them. They felt like they were wrong. They felt like they were wrong. Did it matter? Did it matter which day? No, it wasn't an issue of day. It was an issue of their conscience. Their conscience bothered them because to them it just seemed wrong before God because it had always been a holy day. So Paul is dealing with division that's caused by issues of the conscience. A person's different level of knowledge and understanding, their spiritual maturity, all of those things came into play, and they all affected the conscience. Their knowledge, understanding, spiritual maturity affected their conscience in these matters of the meat and the day of worship. And in these examples, both brothers wanted to do right. Those who refused to eat those meats, they wanted to be right. Those who refused to do certain things on the Sabbath day, they wanted to do right before God. So we're talking about individuals who had a desire to do the right thing. Now, we will become divided against ourselves when we refuse to allow people to have that clear conscience themselves before God. Now, I'm going to give you some illustrations, some examples of that here in just a minute. But think of what I'm saying. If you believe before God that you need to do something, you'd be wrong not to do it. Do you agree? I'm not talking about sinful somethings. I'm talking about right, that you feel like this is right. You would be wrong before God. I would be doubly wrong if I told you you can't do it. Or if I made fun of you for doing it. Or if I put you down for doing it. You need to be able to have a clear conscience before God if you're going to grow spiritually. If I mess up your conscience, if your conscience is bothering you, you'll actually stumble into sin. And I'll be the problem. I'll be the one who caused it. So we need to let people do or perhaps not do certain things because their conscience would bother them if they did it. They don't necessarily have to be right. There may be something I say, well, I just can't do that. And you say, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. Maybe there's nothing wrong with it. But if I see that there's something wrong for me in that, and I'm not saying I determine what's right and wrong. You understand, it's a conscience thing. I think God would require this of me. And so I don't want to get involved in it. In the days of the Anabaptists, we came from the Anabaptist movement. They were individuals who decided that they did not want to baptize their children because their children weren't believers. And that offended a lot of people in the church then, and they felt like, well, you can't refuse your children baptism. And do you know some of the Anabaptists, they refused to do it because they felt like it was the right thing before God not to give their children a baptism to look back on and say that was their experience, their salvation. So it was a serious biblical issue to them. And some of them were rebaptized because they had only been baptized as babies. They were rebaptized because they had never been baptized as an adult after they believed. So were they right or wrong, the Anabaptists? They were right. They were right on the baptism. But I'll tell you this, many of them were burned alive or drowned because they wouldn't baptize their children. These were issues of the conscience before God. These are things they felt like, I don't have an option here. To be obedient to God, I must do this. Now, they were right. Sometimes people, you know, you may think they're not right, but it's still their conscience to do it. Let me give you some other examples. These are more modern day things. These are things I have personally witnessed. Wearing a head covering. You know, my wife wears her hat. Bridget wears a hat. I can tell you, Mary Jean does that because she thinks that's the right thing to do. If you don't think it's the right thing to do, okay with us, right? But what would be bad is if you said to her, you can't wear that hat here anymore, we're a Baptist church. You see, it's an issue of conscience then. Okay, I use a real personal illustration because I'm not ashamed of that. We're okay with talking about it. Here's another one though. How about growing facial hair? Or the curly locks. Have you ever seen the Hasidic Jews in New York? They got this curly locks and their long trench coat and a hat in the middle of the summer. You know why they have those curly locks? It's a matter of conscience. You think I should tell them, you don't need to do that? No, because they think before God they should do that. That's not a good hill to die on with a Hasidic Jew. How about wearing modest conservative clothing? You say, well, sure. Do you know I've had people to complain about the ladies? They put down the ladies, not in this church, but in a previous church, because they dress modestly. They put them down. Said they shouldn't do that. And I think you have to let those ladies wear what they feel like God would have them wear. How about sending the kids to Christian school? Or to homeschool. If you ever hear people get in an argument over what school's best, I've had people come and say, you know, those homeschoolers. They feel like that's what they're supposed to do. You know, and they feel like this is how our kids can get the best education and so forth. Sure, they're your kids. They're not my kids. It's legal. Go ahead and homeschool. We homeschooled some. We have homeschoolers here. I've had people who sent their kids to public schools and they thought the homeschoolers were wrong. But they did it out of conviction. Have to let them do what their conviction is. Is it wrong to homeschool your kids? No. How about drinking coffee? Or I should say not drinking coffee. I don't drink coffee, they say. I went down to, where did I go? One of the colleges, Pensacola, I think. And I was down at Pensacola and I met a missionary that I used to support. He sat down at the breakfast table and I went over and sat down with him and said, how are you doing this morning? And he said, I see you got your dose. It was offending him that I had my cup of coffee. So Okay. I'll let you not drink coffee and I won't drink it in front of you even. It's okay. If you feel like that's what the Lord would have, is it wrong to drink coffee? Some people think it is. Is it wrong to not drink coffee? If it's an issue, an issue to some, it's a drug. Don't drink that. It's a drug. How about not owning a television? I don't own a television. Haven't owned a television for years. Is that okay? You sure? Because I don't want to offend you by not having a television. We have to let people do, and don't put them down for it. If you don't have a television, okay. You believe it's the best, you're probably better off. Yeah. How about maintaining a certain diet? You ever get around these people, they're weird. They don't eat anything. They eat fruits, nuts, and berries, and all kinds of things that come out of the dirt. You know, they're all into this special diet. And they feel like they do that as unto the Lord. Have at it. I don't care if you have a certain diet. You get the point. You cannot allow our church to be divided because we don't do everything exactly alike, because some people have a conscience about certain things. Using alternative medicines. You can if you want to. It may not be best for you. I don't know. I'm not an authority on that, but you can use alternative medicines, or you could use medicines, and some people don't because they think it's abusive to their body to take synthetic things in their body. When these and other matters like this come into play, they're matters of the conscience often. Matters of the conscience. And a person needs to be allowed to have a clean conscience before God. Let's not divide over the quirks and peculiarities of each other. Let's let everybody stand alone before God and answer with a clear conscience before God. So you understand these are reservations. These are things, I don't know that the Lord will have me do that. Or these are obligations. I feel like the Lord requires this of me. We're not talking about liberty. I'll mention that in just a minute. We're not talking about things that I feel like, you know, the Lord's okay with this and I'm going to enjoy it. We're talking about things, I don't think the Lord would have me do this, or I think the Lord requires this of me. And people have that in their conscience. Now, we could help them to understand differently, and if they get into the Word of God and we feel like they're wrong, maybe we could teach them something. Or maybe they could teach us something. I don't know about you. I don't feel like I've finished growing yet spiritually. I have a long ways to go. And it's amazing to me the people whose greatest lessons in my spiritual life come from people you'd least expect. Just watching and listening. Really, I'm serious about that. Not preachers and teachers and professors, but just the common, everyday, ordinary person who feels all of a sudden has this conviction about something. And I look at the Word of God and they're right. They're right. Let me talk about division prevention here for issues of conscience. Paul draws two conclusions. Look at verse 4, Romans 14. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. What's the first lesson? Don't be the judge. Don't judge people's conscience. If they're sinning, yes. If you go to them and say, look, you're doing this and the Bible says this. If it's sin, if they've missed the mark, certainly we go to them. But if it's just it's a obligation that they feel before God, or a reservation, something that they can't do because of their beliefs, then we need to allow them to do that and not be their judge. Look at verse 21 for another lesson. We are not to do anything that might cause another person to stumble. Verse 21 says, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Is made weak. There are two common misconceptions when people look at Romans chapter 14. The weaker brother in Paul's day, in these two examples we're looking at, are they the one who could or the one who could not? They could not. They could not do certain things on the Sabbath day. They could not eat the meats that had been offered to the idols. So the weaker brother, as defined here, is the one who could not. But it might just as easily be, in another matter of conscience, the one who does, and the stronger brother would be the one who does not. Right? It could just as easily be that. So to debate who's the strongest and the weakest, to think of yourself as the stronger brother because you can do this and they can't, you miss the whole point of the scripture if that's how you start looking at this. So don't think that because you have no problem with something that you're necessarily the stronger brother. The stronger brother may be the one who's decided, I believe the Lord would have me not do that. I believe the Lord would have you not do it too, but I'll wait for him to tell you. Every division that occurs in our day is not a conscience issue, though, is it? I wish it was that simple. Every issue that divides us among brothers and sisters, like we are, is not a Romans 14 issue. But some people, many people, will put their own, and I'm going to call it what it is, they'll put their own little sins of commission. Their sins of commission and sins of omission. What's a sin of commission? It's doing something that you ought not do. Sins of omission is not doing something you ought to do. So there's two different. Sometimes people will take their little sins of commission and they'll sort of plug it into the Romans 14 passage and say, I'm the stronger brother because I can. You say, well, what exactly are you talking about? Well, adopting the world's entertainment as your own. That would be an example. Deciding what the woman's role of the in the home is going to be in your home, or what the man's role in the home is going to be in your home. How you view and manage your money. Let me stop right in the middle of my list and say these are not issues of conscience. The woman's role in the home and the man's role in the home is defined in the scriptures, right? So we don't have liberty with that. But some people believe and they plug their little things in and call it a matter of conscience. I've seen it happen literally hundreds of times in my own life. Political choices. Hey, did you watch the results last night? Political choices. Are they up to us? Can you vote any way you want to? Really? Does the Bible have anything to say about how we vote? It does. Yeah, I understand how you, if you shook your head the other way, I understand. But it does, doesn't it? They're biblical principles. It's not a matter of conscience about how you vote. Now, their conscience may come into play, but within the realms of the biblical principles, right? Obedience to traffic laws. It's not a matter of conscience. Tell the police officer, well, I feel like I can go that fast. he'll give you his signature and ask for yours. Fashion. Is that a personal choice? Not altogether, is it? Nope. The design of a worship service. Because they're everywhere now, right? We're all over the board with worship services. You can go to a rocking out church. You can go to the praise band church. You can go to the movie church. That's what they do. They show movies. You can go to the church where they do drama every week instead of preaching. Every service. Does God care? Yes. So we can't take these things and call them a matter of conscience. I want us to be careful that we don't get confused here. certain things. If it's something I just have a reservation about this because I feel like it's not right before God, then don't do it. You know, I'm going to have to go through with this because I believe it's what God has for me in His Word. That's what He wants me to do. Then by all means, do it. Not sinful things, though, right? Let people do what they feel like God would have them to do. Aren't you glad that you can answer God with a clear conscience if you want? You can decide what God wants you to do and do it. And that's of the Lord. He's given you a will, and I can't interfere with that as you try to exercise your will in compliance with the Word of God. Maybe a little bit of a deep thought, but think of it because it's critically important. These are not issues of the conscience. And we don't have liberty to decide what we're going to do for ourselves in most things. They're principles of the Word that we need to obey. Don't you wish Christians would obey the Word? Be a different world overnight, wouldn't it? Conscience has to do with reservation or obligation, not what you assume to be your liberty. Okay? Not what you assume to be your liberty. Now, let me just add this. If it's your desire to force the scenario into the Roman, your scenario into the Romans 14 thing, and you say, well, I'm the stronger brother, you're weak, I understand. You're weak. Well, let me say to you, stronger brother or sister, that if you'll read all of Romans 14, you'll see that what that means, because you're the stronger brother, you should refrain from what you feel you have liberty to do because it offends somebody. And it could cause them to be weak and stumble into sin. And it happens. It happens in this day, in this age in which we live. Now, I wanted to cover two, but I'm not going to start another because I don't have time hardly to even get started. But I'll pick it up here next week. I want to talk about a few more things that we should not let divide us. What did I talk about tonight? Issues of the conscience. Does everybody understand? It's not sin issues. If God says don't do it, then it doesn't matter what anybody says. But if it's some of these things like we talked about, or like what we've read about here in Romans 14, then we need to let people live and answer God with a pure, clean conscience. Okay? And let me say to you, don't sin against your own conscience. If you believe that God would have you do something, whether you're right or wrong, you better be doing it. Because if we're without faith in what we do, then we bring sin into our own lives. We need to be doing what we believe God would have us to do. And that's why it's important that you don't do what the preacher says. You don't do what the deacons say. You don't do what the Sunday school teacher says. You do what you believe God says for you. Again, we're talking about issues of the conscience, not sin. Okay? Do what you believe God says, and don't do for me what you believe God would not require of you. Because if you did that, you'd be doing it for the wrong person, wouldn't you? Any questions or comments? Let's don't let issues of the conscience divide us, though. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this night, for the opportunity that you give us to look into your word here in the middle of the week. Lord, this is perhaps a little bit heavier than what we normally do on Wednesday night, but I pray that we would grasp it, that my brothers and sisters, along with myself, Lord, would be careful not to allow division over issues of the conscience. We thank you for your goodness, for your love, for your blessing upon our life and upon our church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.